TalkZone.com.
It's time for Pageant Talk Radio with Valerie Hayes. This is the show that will inform and inspire you whether you're preparing for a pageant competition or just want to be an everyday beauty queen. We're here to help you develop life skills that transcend pageantry. Now, here's the host of Pageant Talk Radio, Valerie Hayes.
Hello and welcome to Pageant Talk Radio, and thanks so much for listening today. I'm Valerie Hayes, and we're going to spend today's show sharing exciting information that can help you find joy and success at your next competition or in your life as an everyday beauty queen. We want to help you make this year your best year ever. Well, I'm really, really excited because on today's show, I'm going to be talking with the man himself, Carl Dunn, from Pageantry and Promtime magazines, and he's going to be with me today talking about the Dunn family. You may not realize it, most of you do, but some of you may not realize that the Dunn family has probably impacted every single area of pageantry within the last 40 years. And today, I'm going to get the scoop from Carl about everything you've always wanted to know. Then, a little later in the show, I'm going to answer your pageant coaching questions, including what type of talent you should use for a Miss America prelim. I know y'all are doing your prelims. Why some directors actually discourage contestants from using a pageant coach, and when you should consider doing a practice pageant. But before we get to that, I want to remind you that I am on Facebook and Twitter. On Facebook, you need to find my fan page because my friends are filled up on my profile page. So please look for my fan page, which is Valerie Hayes, the Pageant Coach, and click the little like button so you can follow all of my updates. And on Twitter, you can just search on my name, Valerie Hayes. I also want to let you know that the Miss Teen America program is proud to announce the launch of their new website, oddly enough, www.missteenamerica.com. You can check out the website for information on the 2011 National Pageant, for pictures, videos, and much more. You can also visit the website to find out how you can represent your state at the 2011 Miss Teen America and Miss Junior Teen America pageants. Once again, visit www.missteenamerica.com for more information on this exciting pageant. I also want to remind you, if you're getting ready for your next pageant, it's easy to practice those interview skills at home on your own with my Mastering the Pageant Interview audio CD and my downloadable ebook, 501 Perfect Practice Pageant Questions. The audio CD is full of the exact same coaching and strategic advice that I share with my private coaching students, and my ebook, 501 Perfect Practice Pageant Questions, is the number one tool you must have in order to get a top interview score. And the best part is that the proceeds from each and every purchase benefit Kiva, an organization which empowers others to lift themselves out of poverty. Kiva takes our proceeds and gives them out in the form of microloans. And those microloans are used by women to build their businesses to provide a better quality of life for themselves and their family. Pageantry is all about self-improvement, and so is Kiva. So if you're getting ready for your next pageant, don't wait another day. Just click on the Mastering the Pageant Interview audio CD and 501 Perfect Practice Pageant Questions on the Pageant Talk Radio show page and get started towards your top interview score today. Well, today is a very special day because we have as our guest someone who's usually asking the questions, not answering them. With me today is Carl Dunn, CEO of Pageantry Talent and Entertainment Services, Inc., the publisher of both Pageantry, which is featured in the blockbuster film Miss Congeniality, and Promtime magazines. Carl has been a featured industry expert for HBO, the E! Channel, the New York Times, and the BBC. He has produced countless local, state, and international events, and Pageantry is distributed nationally and internationally and has been for 32 years. As you know, it's the leading industry publication for the beauty, fashion, and modeling industries and covers such recognizable events as the Miss Universe Organization, the Miss America Organization, and the International Modeling and Talent Association. Pageantry also promotes the nation's largest competitions for supplying new talent to the entertainment industry through the premier modeling and talent conventions held in Los Angeles, Las Vegas, and New York City. You can check out their print publications, and they're also online at pageantrymagazine.com, promtime.info. You can check out their Pageantry Online Fashion Boutique and the Pageantry Podcast and their three social media sites and fan pages. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Pageant Talk Radio, none other than the fabulous Carl Dunn. Good morning, Carl.
Good morning, Valerie, and thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, it's so exciting to have you, and you just came off of a marathon photo shoot, didn't you?
Oh, you're too kind. Yes, we actually just wrapped up Friday, the 2011 Pageantry and Primetime photo shoot, which is the largest in the world on location photo shoot for evening wear, pageant gowns, prom gowns, social occasion gowns, etc.
Wow, that sounds like a fabulous issue. And when does that come out?
Actually, we will do a special release in the digital version of Pageantry Magazine coming out October, November. It will be the main featured print editorial, as it has been for the past 20 years, in the spring edition of Pageantry as well as Primetime magazines.
Wow. Well, that sounds really exciting, and I know I always read mine cover to cover when I get mine, but let's go way back.
I like to hear that, Valerie.
You're so kind. Let's go way back to the very beginning of the Dunn dynasty, and it was actually your dad and his brother who first got involved in pageantry. Is that right?
That is correct. Actually, I'm named after my uncle. His name was Carl David Dunn. Back in 1962, he and a lovely woman, March Hammond, had started the first children's and teenage pageants. They were called the Our Little Miss pageant systems, based in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And in 1976, when the company split in two different directions, he and his partners actually formed the Cinderella Scholarship program that's still, and both are still in existence today. Cinderella is still based in Louisiana, as well as Our Little Miss, which is now the World Youth Federation.
Right.
So we go way back.
Way back.
1962, and I can tell you if I was there at the beginning or not. It may date me just a little bit.
Yeah, we won't go that far back. But tell us about what the vision was when they first started the children's pageants, because I think the children's pageants that they started are a little bit different from what we might know as kiddie pageants.
Well, and yes, that is true. In fact, even today, there's a different genre of what are natural pageants versus glitz pageants. But
right.
Back then, the premise was to base a scholarship program for young ladies, children to teenagers, and it was really based upon the premises of the Miss America organization. It was based, there was a required talent, or in the younger divisions, a personality or onstage interview question for the younger contestants that may or may not have already been trained in some type of talent, whether instrumental, vocal, what have you. And again, it was all scholarship-based to provide them the opportunities as they moved into their teenage years to already start preparing for college. And again, at that point, in that time, before they could enter the Miss America organization or pursue other opportunities for scholarship programs.
Right, because at that time there wasn't anything for people under the age of 18, right?
You are very correct. The original, it was a natural pageant, no makeup, no glitz costumes, etc. But it was set up in age groups basically of 3 to 6, 7 to 9, 10 to 12, and then 13 to 17.
Right. And then how did that evolve from, you know, the development of those pageants for children in the natural arena? How did that develop into Pageantry Magazine?
Well, it was a long process, and within the different systems, we had newsletters. We had ways to keep in touch before the internet, Facebook,
right,
all the electronic media that we do have today. Pageantry Magazine actually started as a newsletter within the pageant systems that we're involved with, probably around 1988 or 89, after it had already become Pageantry Magazine. Carl David, and actually I was out in Baton Rouge at the time also, had brought my father, Charles Dunn, on board to really take the magazine from more of a newsletter into an industry publication, promoting the positive side and the goals and the opportunities of the glamour lifestyle industry, which is pageantry, modeling, etc.
Right.
That was moved down to Orlando, Florida, as we separated the company out from the pageant side of the business and then the publishing house itself following the death of my uncle, Carl David Dunn.
Right. So he passed away, and the pageant side went one direction, and the magazine stayed with your dad.
Correct. Moving to Orlando, and then at that point, we decided to take it really into a national style publication, got involved in the fashion industry, with the various fashion markets, the designers at that time who were really promoting their goods to the pageant industry and to the modeling industry, which kind of started our first base off within the industry. But again, knowing the pageantry, being involved from the beginning, you know, unlike a lot of people within the industry or a lot of publications or even bloggers, what have you, we have been in all levels of the glamour lifestyle industry. We have produced local. We have produced state. We have produced national. We have produced international competitions on both the beauty pageant and the modeling side of the industry.
And a lot of people outside the pageant industry and some people within the pageant industry don't necessarily see how interchangeable the pageant industry, the glamour lifestyle, is with the modeling industry and the entertainment industry. Would you say that that was an obstacle back then, or were people, did people understand that more when it was first started?
And there's always a crossover within the industry. Now, depending on the type of modeling or the systems themselves, there are complete lines of demarcation, so to speak.
Right. Some transition easier than others.
Some are very easy, or some transitions are very much in tune with the industry. Some are tougher. A great example is at the photo shoot, the pageantry and primetime fashion showcase that we just did. A lot of the ladies are trained in one style of modeling, runway, as opposed to print, or vice versa. But they have that basic training of being able to hit the mark, understanding instruction out on location, where to hit the mark, how to work the camera, et cetera. And that works great whether they're the pageant side of the business or the modeling side of the business, beginners, novices, so to speak, or seasoned veterans.
Right. Now, tell me a little bit about the challenges your dad first faced when he was trying to grow what was a newsletter into the national publication.
Oh, I don't think there's ever all challenges. We all like to be positive in that aspect. But I think back then, you basically had two known systems, Miss America and the Miss Universe, Miss USA organizations. In producing the world's largest children's or teenage pageants at the time, one of the main challenges I believe that we had was, as the industry started to grow more, was separating ourselves from our previous involvement with our own systems, which had been founded within our family.
Now you're representing a variety of systems, not just your own.
Exactly. And that was probably the biggest challenge back then at that point in time, was separating it out, understanding that this was a total separate corporation at the time, and it still is, and they really have no affiliation with any one organization. Our job is to promote the industry as a whole, again, the positive sides of it, and the scholarship or career advancement opportunities, whether in the entertainment field or what have you, to the world and to the general populace, and show them this is a wonderful place to get your start.
And talk a little bit about how you first got involved with the magazine, because you haven't always been involved. You've had a variety of career paths that finally ended up with your being the CEO and publisher. So walk us through the path that you took.
Oh, it's a long and winding road. growing up in the industry, of course, you know, it's within many businesses that are family-oriented. Some of us, you know, we leave to go to college. We leave to do our own things. We leave to go to other companies to learn from large corporations, smaller corporations, and eventually those of us who return to the businesses is because it's something that we love, something that we grew up in. We've had a lot of
family
members.
Often think that it's an advantage to go off and try other things before you come back to the family business. Did you find that was true?
Oh, of course. You know, I grew up, you know, as a you know, young person, you know, within the pageant industry, getting my start, basically moving sets around the stage, painting stage sets all night long, graduating, which I thought was the big time, into lighting and spotlight, and then even bigger things of sound.
Right.
Into the production side of the business. And then not only the production side, but then even moving into the management team of working with local directors, state directors, and international directors in promoting the events, and then helping them get produced, contestants, other, you know, garnering more directors and growing the business itself. And then I would leave at times, you know, and come back. And it was always something that those who knew us in the industry always said, he'll be back. He'll be back. And, of course,
he'll be back.
No, I'm never coming back, but it's something that gets into your blood. And I think, you know, I was born into it, and I'm happy to be back, and I shall return back to Pageantry Magazine in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
So I am here to stay, and
you are here to stay. You know, I think that's one thing that people outside the pageant community don't understand. It's not really the glitz and the glamour that attract people back over and over again. It's really the positive nature of the pageant community and the self-improvement and the encouragement of each other, even if you might be in a competing system. Don't you find that that's one of the aspects of pageantry that people most enjoy?
I do, and you are totally correct in bringing that point up. You know, as someone who's grown up in the industry, I still have friends from when I was a child. I have friends whose daughters or sons may compete in one form or another in one part of the industry. And one thing that we always notice, and this is when I've worked with Fortune 500 companies doing interviews, anything relating to the glamour lifestyle industry, these young people at a young age, in many instances, are used to speaking to an adult or an authority figure. And whether it's an abstract question or a pointed question, they can formulate an answer, and there is no right or wrong answer in many of these instances, but form an answer and be able to succinctly give it back to that authority figure. This is one thing that I've noticed year after year in various careers, even here as a judge within the industry, doing our own interviews on the Pageantry Podcast, as you mentioned before. These young people possess skills that they've learned at an early age, and this is really what sets them up for success.
That's a great point. I have tons and I can't even count how many coaching students I've worked with that have called me to say, I got this job because my interview was awesome. You know, I took the time to research my potential employer online. And when I went to the interview, I was prepared, you know, because they have to be prepared for their pageant interview. And I've had several people get spots in television, in entertainment news, in hard news or entertainment news because of their experience in pageantry. And I really think it does prepare people to, you know, get that interview or get the scholarship because they had an interview for it. And that's another aspect of pageantry that I think that people enjoy. So talk to me a little bit about what it takes to put an issue of the magazine together.
Oh, it comes together in about a day. You know that.
Yeah, so does my show, Carl.
It's a process, as you know, in putting anything together of this magnitude. And we're very proud of what we do and of the quality that we produce. Doing this for 32 years, technology has helped us out a lot. But it's an ongoing process. Even though one issue has been put to bed and is at the printer, we're already working on the next one, lining up our interviews, lining up our feature stories. But basically, we set up a budget and agenda for each and every edition, whether it's a particular cover feature, fashion, Miss America, Miss Universe, what have you. How we're going to put it, what our budget is for each story, collecting all the editorial photos. All of those hundreds and hundreds of pageantry patter submissions, pageant personality submissions, all those pictures that we love to, and they're free submissions, you know that.
For people who don't know, Pageant Patter is the part of the magazine where you can send your photos in of you and your friends or meeting with a celebrity or whatever snapshot you took. So y'all should be sending those in because it's free, and then you can show your mom and dad that you're in print.
And send those right to editor@pageantrymag.com.
Pageantrymag.com, okay.
And do not adjust those for email, for Facebook, for web, for anything. We need those original size photos. Otherwise, they come in too small for print.
Oh, okay. So you need the original photo that they downloaded to their computer and you're set.
Yes, ma'am.
Editor at pageantrymag.com. So
you got it.
How do you decide, of course, the pageant patter, I know you're picking from lots of photos. How do you decide the content of the magazine? Does it pretty much follow the big pageants and the big talent and modeling organizations? Do you have kind of a set pattern?
We do, and it has changed. Perennially, as we all know, Miss America was always Labor Day week or the week
right.
Before Labor Day in Atlantic City. With their move to January and with Miss USA's move from January, February, now back to sometimes April, it has changed up our budget editorial, so to speak, at times. Mm-hmm. But we come out quarterly, which allows us time to prepare each and every issue. But we also have a celebrity issue. That is someone like this recent edition, Inside Edition's Megan Alexander.
Right. And that was actually, I think that may have been my favorite edition this year. It was jam-packed. It was fabulous.
Well, thank you. But we don't have Raven Simone. We've had a lot of celebrity covers, and once a year we try to interview and feature a known celebrity, a household name that has come from the glamour lifestyle industry, whether it's from the pageants or the modeling field. Leanne Rimes, way back when she was a child, when she first got her break, had been featured within pageantry. So Raven Simone twice, Halle Berry,
Marjorie Wallace. A big name.
So we've been very fortunate to work with a lot of these people, and they're kind enough to share their experiences and their growth through industry and actually let our readers, listeners, even through the podcast, understand what it took for them to succeed in the industry, how they achieved their goals, how they grew and prospered within the industry, and it took them to another level within their professional and personal lives.
You know, and that's a really great point, because probably when pageants first got started in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, you know, people were thinking, oh, this is just a fun thing to do, but it, you know, it's just a little hobby that I do on the side. Now people are using pageantry to prepare themselves for something else. They're using it as a stepping stone for some other kind of glamour lifestyle career, or, you know, entertainment industry, modeling, acting, news broadcasting, those kinds of things. And so I think it's great that you're highlighting those people who have successfully managed the transition in the magazine. Well, today I'm talking with Carl Dunn about the legacy of the Dunn family on pageantry and all that goes into publishing the magazines. It's already time for a quick break, but stay tuned, and I'll be right back to talk with Carl about what's going on in pageantry now and what the future holds. So don't go away. We'll be right back here on Pageant Talk Radio.
Are you confused about what makeup you need to create your best pageant look? Perfect Pageant Glam Kits take all the guesswork out of selecting the right makeup for your next competition. Each glam kit includes custom coordinated eyeshadows, eyeshadow base, glowing cheek color, and a lip color, all perfectly coordinated to create your winning look. Plus, you get a full set of instructions so you can be your own personal makeup artist. To get your glam kit, just visit www.pageantfaces.com today or email us at imageconsulting@airmail.net. You're going to love the way you look. Are you struggling with choosing a pageant wardrobe? Are you hoping to discover your own winning style? Meet professional model, former title holder, owner, and fashion stylist of La Casa Hermosa Gown Shop, Robin Fleming. Robin has over 25 years of experience in fashion styling, personal branding, and creating winning looks in all phases of pageant competition. Robin knows how powerful personal branding can catapult you to the crowning moment, and she and her staff have helped hundreds of women achieve their dreams. Working with the professional stylists at La Casa Hermosa, you can select wardrobe to play up your assets, create your own winning style, and set yourself apart from the crowd in each phase of the competition. Be seen as the winner at your next pageant. Visit La Casa Hermosa online at lacasahermosa.com or call today 561-301-5523 for your personal appointment. They don't just sell you a dress, they dress you to win.
Do you have a headshot that isn't quite pageant perfect? Are you dissatisfied with the touch-up job done by your photographer? At pageantretouching.com, they take the time to make your photo as beautiful as you are. Attention to detail, quality results, and customer service are the most important factors of their business. Get the polished look you're looking for without losing that natural, realistic quality. Just visit their website at pageantretouching.com and check out their before and after photos. That's pageantretouching.com.
Do you have the number one tool used by elite title holders to create a winning pageant interview? Do you want to ace any question during your pageant interview? You need to get your copy of Valerie's 501 Perfect Practice Pageant Questions today. The biggest mistake contestants make when practicing is using a limited list of practice questions. If you're practicing on your own or with the same partner, you're going to be practicing the same 50 or 60 questions over and over again. It's just hard to think of a wide variety of practice questions on your own. Valerie's 501 Perfect Practice Pageant Questions eliminates that problem and helps you prepare to answer any pageant interview question. Plus, the questions are specific to your competition division, teen, miss, or Mrs. and Ms. Valerie's 501 Perfect Practice Pageant Questions is a downloadable ebook. Just download it to your computer, print it out, and start developing your interview skills today. Visit Valerie's website, www.valeriehays.com, and click on Shop. With Valerie's perfect practice pageant questions, you're on your way to a winning pageant interview.